Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now 9:19. We've got Tusha Mohata on the line. He's the Vice President of Equity Research at Nomura. Ibrahim, over to you.
So, morning, Tusha. Let's focus on the banking sector this morning. CIMB and RHB has announced lower loan growth rates for the second half of this year, as well as also revised downwards their loan growth targets for next year. And as of June this year, loans growth stood at 1.4%. What are your general expectations for loan growth in Malaysia?
Hi, good morning. Actually, I think the loans growth might continue to slow even more from here. Because if you look at the breakdown of loans growth, you'll find that for Malaysia, over the last 2 years, almost the entire growth has coming from just three sectors, residential mortgages, non-residential properties, and working capital. And because all three of these sectors have seen a slowdown over the last couple of years, we expect loans growth to fall to the range of about 4 to 5% for the full year.
Now, you touched on residential mortgages. Currently, residential mortgages account for about one-third of the total industry loan book at 31%. Just how closely linked is the slowdown in the properties sector to loan growth in the residential mortgages sector?
Yes, you're right. In fact, this year, almost the whole of the 1.4% loans growth which you have seen so far has come from residential properties. Now, the thing about residential properties and mortgages is that there is a time lag between slowdown in the sector and the loan slowdown. This is because residential property loans are not disbursed all at once, but instead in phases over, say, 3 to 4 years as the houses are built. So the slowdown which we have seen in the property sector, which has lasted over the last 2 years, is only now starting to show up in a slowing loans demand, which means that the outlook for the future in terms of residential mortgages would be further slow down unless there are some relaxations of the cooling measures which have been put in place on the sector.
A key barometer for the economy is on the SME sector, and working capital forms a large chunk of the loans growth rate. How do you think SMEs are going to perform this year, particularly when working capital loans are not actually growing that fast for this year?
Yeah, I think part of the lower requirement for working capitals is also because commodity prices for Malaysia as well as in general have come down a lot. And second, the business confidence index is also lower. So due to the lower activity in businesses, we have seen some slowdown in the loans growth from the SME side as well. I think there will be a continued slowdown for the SME sector as well. We have seen an increasing asset quality stress in a couple of sectors from the SMEs, namely in the non-residential properties, as well as some of the construction loans, which have seen an increase in the gross impaired loans.
So from the liability side of the balance sheet, we focus on the asset side. The deposit figures have actually jumped for many of these banks. In fact, RHB reported a 24% increase for deposits. Do you think that there is a lot more of cash hoarding right now instead of spending, particularly in the retail sector and as well as the corporate sector?
Overall, I think the cash holding on average is still been falling. If you look at the industry deposit number, it's still down year on year. So what a lot of these banks are having to do is to resort to aggressive fixed deposit campaigns. Now, the problem with the fixed deposits from a consumer standpoint is that the interest rates are much lower now. You are getting a one-year fixed deposit right now at board rates of about 3.2%, which means that the real interest rates or the real deposit rates are only marginally positive. I think banks will have to, again, come back to the market for some more with some more FD campaigns to entice some of the customers to come up with more deposits. This is also spurred by the regulatory requirement, which focuses on the liquidity coverage ratio for the banks. And as a result, banks need to focus more on these stable sources of funding.
All right, moving from the balance sheet to P&L right now, the net interest margins is also on a downward trend. How much pressure do you think the banks are under right now to seek for cheaper cost of fund, as well as how do you think they will improve on their margins?
Yeah, the cost of funds is not something in the bank's control right now because generally they are price takers on the deposit side. But what the banks have been trying to do to improve their margins are the cost-cutting programs which they have been trying to put in place to reduce headcount or reduce the branch presence. So of the banks, you look at RHB, CIMB, and Hong Leong Bank have made some progress in cost-cutting over the last couple of years, which has resulted in positive jaws on their P&L. The other way banks have been trying to grow their profits is also by trying to raise their base rates, which happened in the first quarter, second quarter this year. But after banks began the OPR, this increase in base rates was largely offset because the banks had to roll it back.
Speaking about exposure to some of the sectors, we saw very recently through the earnings announcement that Maybank and RHB are quite exposed to the Swiber saga that is currently underway. How exposed do you think local banks are to the oil and gas sector in general, and how do you think this will impact their earnings going forward?
Yeah, I think given Malaysia's oil and gas being a core sector, most of the Malaysian banks do have some sort of exposure to the oil and gas sector. Amongst the banks, we look at Maybank has a 4% exposure to oil and gas, which includes their Singapore exposure as well. AmBank also has about 4%. CIMB and RHB are about 3% of their loan books in oil and gas. On the other side of the spectrum, Public Bank and Hong Leong Bank are probably the least exposed of around 1% or below 1% each. So it appears that the oil and gas stress, especially for banks with exposure to the Singapore, the support services sector, will see some more provisioning in the coming quarters, given oil prices over the last couple of weeks have also been trending down.
So considering that all this is in play, how would be your valuation for this industry? And do you think this is still an attractive sector to look into?
Okay, we think that the Malaysia bank sector might continue to trade at a current price-to-book of about 1.2 times, which is actually down quite sharply from 1.8 times just a couple of years ago. This is because the ROEs of these banks themselves have come down from 15% a couple of years ago to about 10% on average right now. So we would say that the valuations for the sector on average are still fair and would not call it very attractive, but on the contrary, we think that there might be more derating ahead for the banks whose ROEs continue to fall. So in terms of the stock picks, we do see some opportunities within this valuation, within the current valuations. We like Public Bank as it is just generally a defensive stock to own in a bear market for the banking sector. And we also have a buy on RHB because it has shown a quite significant improvement in the ROE after the restructuring program.
Thanks. That was Tushar Mohata, Vice President of Equity Research at Nomura.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.